Hey everyone, welcome back to Hysteria Radio, the only place where we're talking expressive arts, music, writing, and all things related to mental health and healing. Today I have a guest that if you've ever looked up mental health on the computer or have ever gotten involved with any groups on the internet as far as talking about writing mental health, blogging mental health, or advocacy in general, you may have heard of our guest today. Our guest today is Rebecca Lombardo. She is an author. She has a podcast with her husband, Joe, called Voices for Change. Is it still Voices for Change 2.0?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know if each season went up a number. Voices for Change 2.0. She is heavily involved with her hashtag on social media called Keep Talking MH. And it's always good to have somebody that, you know, every time I sign in, I see that you're talking about mental health and, you know, the strength that you have to, you know, dedicate so much time and energy to the mental health community. I want to thank you for coming on the show today, Rebecca Lombardo.
Well, thank you very much for having me. I appreciate your kind words.
It's, you know, it's something that I found in the mental health world that I personally have to stay off social media most of the time. You know, like if, you know, we do the show, we put it out there every once in a while, I get inspired, but it's real easy for me to like fall into these like rabbit holes of, you know, somebody retweets a political thing that's happening or a sports thing that's happening or a new album that came out. And then I dive deep into these holes and try and learn everything about it. So, you know, for the most part, I'm only on there for mental health too. And every time I go on, I see that, you know, a lot of people start something and then a few weeks later, they're quick to just be like, this isn't working. And, you know, they back off of it or they go find something else to do. But every time I go on, I see the Keep Talking MH hashtag. Mm-hmm. Like, how do you find the strength to keep that going? And how do you, you know, keep your crowd excited, which, you know, which I know we are, to see that you're always talking about mental health?
Well, you know, it wasn't as hard as I thought it was going to be. You know, when I originally created the hashtag, I was really kind of feeding off of the, you know, interest that people, that my peers were getting from their hashtags. And I wanted to create something that was a little bit more broad and could apply to more mental illnesses than just plain bipolar disorder or, you know, plain OCD or what have you. So, you know, I looked it up and I figured out how to do it. I actually registered the hashtag and it, you know, it technically belongs to me now, which is hilarious.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. But I paid a nominal fee to register it on a website. And, you know, I don't know. I've had a couple of days where I had celebrities tweeting it, which was fun and exciting. And, I don't know. I think it really just is so all encompassing that people are more likely to use it because it applies to them in so many different ways. And I think that's how I keep them excited about it, is that, you know, it's something that makes them feel included in a conversation. And that's so important for healing, is to feel like you're being heard.
Yeah. Yeah. And the fact that it's picked up the momentum the way it has, because if you looked at that, at the trending bar on Twitter all the time, it's like every morning it's something new, you know, mm-hmm. to try and grab your attention. But to see ones like yours that, you know, have stood the test of time, and I feel like it's got to be almost a year now, maybe more, that I've seen new people, you know, writing about it. And I just think that's awesome. That's really something to be proud of, to
keep
this conversation going that long. But on top of the internet, you're also doing so many other things. So, like we said earlier, you're an author of the book, It's Not Your Journey. Tell me how you got the idea for that, or bring me back to the time when, you know, when did you start having concerns about your mental health, or when did you start noticing that there was something that maybe you needed to address in your life?
Well, it all originally started back when I was 19. That's when I was diagnosed, and it really was a huge problem at that point. And I kind of struggled with it all through my 20s and 30s and now 40s. You know, it's been a kind of a constant battle, but basically in 2013, I had a suicide attempt. And when I got out of the hospital, I started thinking about, you know, my experiences. They hadn't been good. And I started wondering how I could sort of purge all of this negativity out of my mind. And so I started writing this blog. And, you know, when I'd had a few of them written, I decided to show them to friends. And, you know, my husband read them and friends were saying, wow, you know, this is really good. And it was cool for me because, you know, all the way back to about third grade, I said I wanted to be a writer. And I had just gone through so many years of writer's block that I kind of gave up the fantasy. And then once I got feedback, you know, positive feedback from people, I decided to make it public. And when I did that, I just heard from so many other people that, you know, all across the world, basically, you know, Taiwan, Malaysia, Israel, I mean, you name it, I heard from them. And they were just telling me how amazing it was that, you know, now that they've read my story, they know where to get help or how to get help or that they should get help or, you know, how to explain it to their spouse and different things like that.
Wow. When I first started putting my story out there on the computer, I had this intense fear. And I was wondering if you could speak to whether you had fear or like instant, you know, liberation and freedom when you put your story out there. Because I remember I was like shaking when I first started putting stuff about mental health online, because I just thought that I was going to get judged or looked at as even weaker than I was.
Well, there was a little bit of fear because I knew that people that knew me were going to see a side of me that they hadn't seen before. So that was a little bit of a concern. And then obviously the negative feedback from other, you know, there's always going to be bad with the good. So there was times when I would get a negative comment here or there, and that would get my blood rushing like crazy. But really, I don't think I was afraid to put it out there, except for the, you know, the people in my husband's family and things like that, that might not be aware of what's going on with me or, you know, telling my story of a suicide attempt. There was some fear with that, that I would be stigmatized, but, you know, it went away pretty quickly once I started feeling as if, like I said before, that I was being heard, you know, in a positive way. Then it kind of all just fell away and I just kept moving.
Yeah. Yeah. So was this therapeutic for you?
Yes. Yes, it definitely was. And it's kind of a bummer right now because I'm going through that writer's block again, and I could really use a you know, a good blog post out there to to get me going again. But yeah, it definitely was therapeutic, and it helped me out with a lot of the resentment and guilt and fear from having been in the hospital.
Yeah, I think that there was something about writing that even at the beginning, I thought that I was writing. Maybe I didn't know if I was writing to help others or to help myself, but I think that I really did a lot of my own healing, you know, from writing. And then along the way, I may have helped a couple other people. And I don't want to say that like I'm bragging or proud of like what I did, because that wasn't my intention. I just wanted people to talk about mental health, because 5-10 years ago, or geez, got to be 8 or 9 years ago, that I was hospitalized, and I would come out and I would you know, Google or Bing or whatever, mental health. And it was just like all these like comment page, you know, people just commenting about how stupid people were with mental health, or it would lead you to these like conspiracy theories about why, you know, people were mentally ill. And it was just like, it would actually make me sicker because I'd start reading all this stuff that wasn't, you know, based on science or facts or evidence or even people's personal stories. And I would get more anxious and more manic from reading it. So tell us about It's Not Your Journey.
Okay. Well, it's a memoir. It's a mental health memoir, and it just details, you know, my life prior to the recent suicide attempt, and, you know, sort of during it, and you know, hospitalization, and then everything I went through when I got out. And basically, I tell my story as a cautionary tale. I don't suggest that anybody take part in anything that I did, you know, for a lot of reasons. You know, I made a lot of bad choices, which, you know, didn't help me when it came down to needing to be hospitalized. But because what worked for me in some instances probably not going to work for the next person. You know, it's an isolated incident. If something works for everybody that's, you know, trying this thing, whatever it may be, I pour my heart out into the book. I mean, I don't hold anything back. And there are times when it gets maybe to where there's a trigger warning because of what I'm talking about. So I always ask people to kind of make sure you're in a good place before you decide to read it, because there's definitely some possible triggers in it. And like I said, it's a cautionary tale, you know, telling people that what I did was not the way to go.
Yeah. You know, it's funny that you say that there's like a trigger warning in it. And that's something that the rest of the writing world doesn't do for somebody that's struggling. You know, they write murder mysteries all the time. People write, you know, suicide movies and you know, TV shows and books and stuff. And no one ever thinks like this may lead somebody to do this. And I love how within our community, you're open enough to say that, like, listen, if you're struggling and some of this hurts, it's okay to put it down. Because I think that's an important thing too, is to go at these topics at your own speed when you're struggling.
Definitely.
Was there a moment or artist that inspired you?
Not really. I don't think so. I don't recall any. I mean, I remember the first time I wrote, and I guess maybe my inspiration for continuing to write would be my husband. You know, he was very, very supportive and really just made me feel as if what I was doing was good quality writing, and that it sounded good, and that, you know, it would help people. And maybe the first time I heard from somebody that I didn't know, that was like, oh my gosh, you know, it sounds like I'm writing this, but you know, you wrote it and it sounds like it was written just for me, that kind of thing. But not really prior to writing did I have any particular inspiration. It was just, but I had inspiration to continue writing, basically.
That's awesome. And it always helps to have that one person that lets you know that what you put down on paper is okay.
Right.
You know, that's just, that makes the world a difference, because it's easy for us, you know, to get locked up in our own heads and think, like I should have never let this out. But then now one person, you know, the, you know, friend, family, or even, you know, with your blog, if you got a nice comment or something, it really goes a long way.
Right.
Do you have any advice for someone right now that wants to tell their story, but may be having trouble finding the right words, or, you know, has that same fear that we talked about?
Any advice? Well, I think the most important thing to remember is that once you put it out there, you know, you're going to be open to scrutiny, by even, you know, by people that may not agree with you or, you know, think that what you're saying is not real. And Lord knows I dealt with that. But the most important thing is to kind of remember that your story is unique and it's important for you to tell it for so many reasons, you know, not only just for how it could help you, but how it could help others. And it could inspire someone else to do it as well. You know, so you kind of have, once you get out there and start talking about it, you sort of have this responsibility to kind of keep going and make sure that you're telling your story anywhere and everywhere, you know?
Yeah.
It's critical that you're honest about where you are in life and that you're honest about everything that you've been through, because like I said, other people will be reading it and will form opinions.
What I was thinking while you were saying all that is that I went through stages of the whole stigma thing. At first it was, why is everybody blaming me for this? Or why isn't anybody talking about this? I think the main stigma with it was that people didn't even acknowledge that mental mm-hmm. health was like was the same as a physical illness, you know, mental illness, brain illness. You know, you have a heart attack, it's due to your heart. It's not due to, you know, your personal problems, mm-hmm. you know, or you have a stroke. It's not because of the choices you made. So why with mental health, when I have something wrong with my brain and with, you know, my ability to think, I don't think it's really the thoughts. I think it's my ability to be able to think in a way that I can, you know, get through life safely and happily. Why are we getting blamed for that? Then right. It was, why, you know, don't people understand it or say the right words? And then it was, now I'm at a point where it's like, well, why did I ever care what anybody else thought? And I feel like maybe that's like, it's all like different phases. And I think that it was like my depression and anxiety at the time where, you know, that's why I cared so much about what people thought. I was broken and I needed help and people didn't realize that. So maybe that's, you know, maybe that's what you were talking about when you said like stigma.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, I'll give you an example. Early on, I got a message on my website from someone who said that mental illness stigma doesn't exist. You're lying to people. You're a narcissist. You know, this book isn't going to help anybody, and just some really horrible stuff. And they said, you know, I shouldn't ever write another book, and just all kinds of really terrible stuff. And, you know, it's something that I really had to kind of grow a thick skin. Yeah. You know, to just in case there was anything like that again. Now, I've been pretty lucky with reviews, but I did have a couple in the early on when, you know, I actually wrote back to them. I was like, hey, you know, you can't say that. That's not true. I didn't do that or whatever. And it just ended up getting into like a big war of words, and it just was stressful and horrible. And, you know, finally made me realize that these people are going to be able to say whatever they want to say on these reviews. There's nothing I can do, but I can't argue with them until they change their mind.
Right.
You know? Yeah. So it's just something that you have to really grow a thick skin for is the negativity.
It seems like a microcosm of the whole world right now.
Exactly.
Like you're not going to be able to change somebody else's opinion on anything right now, it seems like.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and there was something, I got to a point where I would see stuff where, you know, a couple of times I got comments. I would post something like, hey, you could do anything, like meaning like recovery-wise or feel better or, you know, lead a productive life. I didn't mean like, you know, you could, you know, fly on a unicorn if you want. You know, when I said like you can do anything, and somebody really like grilled me like, well, you can't become an astronaut if you don't want it. I'm like, man, this is really sad. Like, I can't argue with this guy because he's telling me like he can't be an astronaut. And part of me was like, that's really sad because maybe 10 years ago, if he put his mind to it, like he could have became an astronaut. So I almost, you know, I've started looking at the critics as, you know, maybe they got something going on that, you know, it's not worth the arguing. So I'm glad you said that because I see a lot of young writers right now, like just getting into it in the comments section. And every time I see that, I'm like, you know what? Just let it go. It's not worth it. It's not worth it because from afar, both people fighting kind of look like fools, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. I'll tell you, I just quickly, I've never felt more at peace than in the most recent months where I decided to stop reading comments, responding. I have a meme that says something along the lines of, you don't have to respond to everything that you notice.
Yeah.
I guess I'll read the comments occasionally. And the first time there's one that is negative or ignorant, I just glaze past it and go on about my day. You know, I've never felt more safe online than when I stopped reading comment sections and, you know, negativity and stuff like that. It just, because Twitter had become sort of a dark place for a while.
Yeah. I think it still is in some ends.
Definitely for some people.
I think mental health is actually a safer side now, but yeah, I know exactly what you mean. I mean, there's people that are just looking to pick a fight. And
exactly.
And isn't that sad, though? Like, it's really sad for the person, whether they're a troll or a bot or somebody that set up a bot or they're just an angry person. It's really sad that, like, they are withdrawing from, like, all the beauty that there is in the world and all the great people there are in the world in order to just pick fights. So that's kind of like, you know, how I justify it to myself. Not that it's right, but, you know, how I don't let it weigh me down and stop me from what I need to do. And I love how you gave that explanation because I think that's something that more people need to look at it and realize, like, that person that's picking the fight is not worth, it's not worth you fighting too.
Right. Exactly.
So are we currently in a season of Voices for Change 2.0?
We sure are.
Nice.
Kind of a all the time thing. We do it, every Saturday morning at 11 a.m. Eastern. There's weeks where we don't do a show for whatever reason, because it's kind of a hard schedule to keep up, you know, and you're giving up your Saturday morning. And sometimes folks have to call off. And so then we will run a replay or something like that. But yeah, we're booked until October right now. So
that's awesome. And for my guests that don't know, I think Rebecca's podcast, Voices for Change 2.0, was one of the first podcasts that I was ever on when I first wrote my book and started talking about it. So it's funny how things come full circle. And when I had written my book, I kind of thought, like, this is what I want to do. I want to, you know, go around and talk about my writing and talk about my story. And still do that really on a local level, and I'll do it nationally if somebody calls me. But for the most part, I started the radio show because the CEO of Mental Health News Radio Network, Kristen, said something to me. She's like, "You think it's empowering to write your book and go talk about it?" She's like, "Wait till you see the change when you start allowing other people to tell their story." So have you seen a change from when you started writing to when you started doing your podcast?
That's a good question. In the mental health field as a whole, I definitely see that more people are speaking out, you know, and it could be just because I've blocked so many people that I'm just blissfully unaware of really negative situations. But I think that people feel safer telling their story. I see it so much now, you know, you know, with my blog, I let other people post on my blog. I take other stories and put it on there because, you know, I want to keep the blog active even though I'm not active right at the moment. you know, when I put out a feeler there for, you know, anybody that wants to tell their story, I'm overrun with people who really want to do it. So definitely seeing a change, and that it's become more of an uplifting, positive experience for people to come out and talk about what they've been through.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel the same. And, you know, I'd rather hand the mic off to other people all day than get up there myself at this point. And I think it's not because I don't want to talk, but I know the power in giving somebody who's just like just started telling friends and family, or hasn't told friends and family yet about what they're struggling with, like somebody who is at that point where like they need to get their story out. I'd rather do that all day than get up there myself. So for our listeners that don't know, and I'm sure everybody's seen you out there, so, you know, follow Rebecca Lombardo. But where can we find your work? Give us the book, your blog, your podcast, give us all your links and any way they can contact you if you want.
Well, honestly, the best way to find me and anything that I do is through my website. I've got all my social media links. I've got my link to my blog on there. We have a whole page for the podcast. So it's www.rebecca, R-E-B-E-C-C-A, Lombardo, L-O-M-B-A-R-D-O.com. And literally everything's out. You can buy a copy of my book through that site. You can learn more about me and my husband and just my story. So there's a lot of information on that site.
That's awesome. I want to thank you very much, Rebecca. It's a pleasure to have the tables turned, or the mics turned, however you want to say it, and get to know more about you for a change. But thanks for coming on the show.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome. And thank you, listeners, for Mental Health News Radio Network and Hysteria Radio. I'm your host, Joe Fusaro. Until next time, remember to keep the radio up, to keep the hysteria down.